How do you scale when the database becomes really huge in O2?
You can easily split like front-end servers, so Python servers, you can split them on multiple machines. That's what we do on O2.com. Actually, we have, I think now, 5-6 machines that are really beefed up serving the website and the backend. You can scale quite a lot. Huh? We have already a lot of instances with thousands of backend users. I mean, if you take O2.com alone, we are now, what, 3,000 employees, I think?
Among the trends and things that are often asked by people, REST or not REST?
So REST is just a communication protocol between two systems. Odoo is exposed with another communication protocol called XML-RPC. A lot of customers ask like, okay, I usually work with a REST API, so why don't you expose Odoo as a REST API? People just use REST without thinking about it. They're not even aware that there are other communication protocols, maybe 10 other communication protocols that can be used and can do the job, sometimes better, easier, if you just learn it.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Planet Odoo. Today we share with you the second part of the discussion we had on Twitch. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, I highly recommend you do first. And if you already did, stay with us because we'll jump into the conversation right now. Ready? Let's go. And we're back. So let's start with a last question about AI from the chat, actually, and then we will move on to other subjects, because actually we do have other subjects, but AI proves to be a long one.
A trendy one.
Come on, it's a nice one, so it's okay to take the time. So let's put this one. So AI ChatGPT seems to be a lot more than a trend. Do you regret not implementing it earlier?
Not really, because I don't think we could have done it much earlier than what we did. Basically, I think we did it in version before version 6.17 a little bit, or maybe it just landed in 17 publicly, which was 6 months ago. So, as I said, what, 1 year after ChatGPT got really...
Yeah, it really exploded, because that was really the time where everybody was talking about that. So it has existed, this kind of AI has existed for a long time, but the moment where we really started to hear about it everywhere all the time was really last year.
So. Yeah, so I don't think we're late on that, to be honest. And I don't think it will be a huge driver of sales anyway. I mean, it's a nice feature to have. Sure, it will help you in your day-to-day if you want to write if you want it to help you write emails to your customers, for example, it can help to reply customer tickets, stuff like that. But it's not a killer feature like it could be in, for example, if you take, I don't know, Zendesk or I don't remember the name of the company, but something like that includes chatbots. Where it's really their core business, then yes, maybe for them it was important to have it super early. In our case, we do have live chat and chatbots, but I don't think it's such a huge problem not to have done it in the that early. We have also to keep in mind that the fact that ChatGPT has really exploded in the tech world. It's being spoken of in other sectors, but if you're not a tech aficionado, you know about it. You probably never used it. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the people I know
bit with it.
Yeah, exactly. You tried it.
I know someone. He asked ChatGPT to write a poem about Pythagoras' theorem, things like that. So everybody can try that. It works really well. But the actual use is arguable.
Exactly.
For this kind of thing.
It's not a killer feature. You don't need it to work in your day to day. So no, we don't have any regret, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, it would mean if we regretted not adding it earlier, it would mean that we would have wished to replace something we made earlier by this. And so the question would be, what do we sacrifice?
Exactly.
So no, I think the timing is okay. And it adds to the wow effect. It was nice at the keynote for the experience.
Exactly.
Mission complete. So let's maybe move on to the next topic. So I know you have a lot of things to say about this one. Why not using microservices in Odoo?
As I said,
the floor is yours, Damien.
As I said, when we prepared the episode a little bit, it's like kind of a PTSD meeting for
that's
me.
Right.
Like
that, I can, that's I can your therapy, all therapy my, moment.
Exactly. I used to work in a company where we use microservices and containerization a lot for absolutely no good reason, and it was really a nightmare to maintain.
Again, I think everybody has a vague idea of what it is, but maybe just recall very quickly, what is a microservice anyway?
So microservice is, I'm not an expert on the matter, but my take on it is that you split your platform. It's usually for bigger platforms that you do that. So you split your platforms into services that are quite small. So for example, you will have one service whose scope is to authenticate users. You will have one service that is usually one endpoint in your API to fetch some kind of data. For example, if you were working in Odoo, you would have one endpoint for the CRM stuff, one endpoint for the sales stuff, one service for the
accounting,
ad desk, accounting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You could even split it further to have a service that is in charge of tax computations only, if you want to really go mad. and so the reason this exists, I think, as a technology, is to make it easy to scale stuff that needs to be scaled. And I think that's the part that a lot of people forgot about, is that if you don't need to scale, don't do that. It's going to be a nightmare, because the problem when you start working with microservices is that you have to have clear boundaries between services, which is not as easy as it may sound.
Because at the end of the day, it's just any kind of modeling, it's just arbitrary. So you decide that there will be a service for this, for this, for this, and then maybe 6 months after deploying the thing, you realize that, okay, but actually it cannot work like that because this one needs to communicate with this one, and then you start
adding hacks. That's usually what you end up with, is that all your services will be super interconnected. So it's super cool because you have all small services with clear APIs, but as soon as you want to change one API in one service, you have to create other endpoints in the other services. And so your small feature that is basically one endpoint becomes a huge change set that is introducing like five new endpoints in other services that the one you are working on. And if you have split your services in teams, it means that you have to coordinate this effort between teams so that like all the services are ready to be deployed at the same time, of course, because everything needs to be interoperable. Or if you manage to make it like asynchronously, it means that you're really good and that you probably should be using microservices. But it complicates stuff so much. It's amazing.
Plus, at the end of the day, you know, it's well, depending on the case, of course, but if you start having services depending on each other like that, it doesn't scale that well anymore, because it means that if you want to really add a lot of workers for one service, since it depends on another one, you might load that service as well.
If you have a lot of independency, it means. But the fact is that usually you will deploy microservices using some kind of containerization and automatic scaling. If you set up your, now it would be a Kubernetes setup probably. If you set it up correctly, you can immediately tell the system, if you see this kind of load on the system, spawn another worker, or another Docker image, whatever. So the scaling kind of goes automatically if you move in that direction, but it's another layer of complexity to add, by the way, because you need to now decide, okay, when do I scale? It also means that you kind of lose control of your platform. If you have someone DDoSing you, all of a sudden the platform will scale, and then you've multiplied your Amazon invoice by 10 and you didn't do anything. Like it's not, you cannot control that. You can put limits, I think, in Amazon and Google, in the Google platforms, but still you kind of hope for the best.
Yeah, at least you need to be careful on the way the automatic scaling is done, because you don't want it to scale forever.
You always put limits anyway, but I mean, it makes sense if you're Netflix or if you're Amazon or if you're a huge company that needs to reach millions of people across continents. It clearly makes sense. At the same time. And with low latency.
Exactly.
So that's like a huge problem. Here in Odoo, for example, it doesn't really make any sense. Most Odoo instances have 20 users and a website maybe with a few thousand visitors. That's, I think I've just described something like 95% of Odoo instances. And obviously, such a complex setup doesn't make any sense. You've just put so many brakes on your development velocity that you, I'm not going to say you drop to zero, that's not true, but you divide it at least by two, and probably, I think, from my experience, a lot more.
That probably would mean for Odoo, going for this kind of architecture would require a huge number of changes, of course. But I think indeed the Well, the thing is, Odoo does a bit everything as it is now. And everything is complicated. Everything is a lot of things. and so even if you manage to dispatch that into microservices, I think it will soon become very, very complex because you have a lot of features that need to interact with each other to override part of the code, this and there. And so you need to...
Exactly.
It all depends on what is installed on the database of the customer. So it's one more layer of complexity.
And as a developer, I think that's really a strength of Odoo, that everything is interconnected. It means that there is some ramp up in your onboarding as a developer for Odoo to know, okay, I need to override this method on this model. And like you kind of get to know, okay, a few key methods on a lot of models, for example, action confirms on sales order, action post on account moves, mm-hmm. stuff like this. But once you get that, you can basically plug in into any workflow and do whatever you want. That means that if you set a lead to confirmed, it will create a sales order that will get auto-validated and then create an accounting invoice. And if you start doing it with microservices, I'm not even sure we could have this kind of modularity because it means that instead of having one module that depends on sale, accounting, and CRM to like do some stuff with all that data, you would need to patch three different services, then probably have one other services that kind of serves as a like receptacle for all this data sharing and data management. So it would be a nightmare as a developer, I think, then. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we would be sacrificing our design. And I think it would be a pity because the first thing that really impressed me when I got into Odoo was really when I read the tutorial. I was learning how to program in Odoo. And just the explanation of how the models work, the inheritance, these kind of things, because you read it and you're like, okay, actually it's simple to understand. But when you look it into action, you realize that there are so many things that are possible because of that. The whole modeling of Odoo, so all those the things is what makes the worth of the product. Yeah. Mm. And changing that for something else might be very, very bad.
I don't think it would be called Odoo anymore. It would be so different, like the approach. That's really not in our DNA. So, the chances of that happening are basically zero. thank God. I remember that we had some feedback in the past, like, hey, should we, make silos out of our application so that if you have a lot of invoicing data that works on, you can split the database, have it live on another machine so that it's more powerful for that, but then the rest is not impacted by the fact that you use a lot of invoices. And no, we said no, we will keep saying no, because it would be really complicated.
But then the question becomes, how do you scale when the database becomes really huge in Odoo? Because there are big projects, there is Odoo first.
I think our database is probably in the top 5% of big Odoo databases. We scale, at the moment, it's only possible to scale the processing on Python. So that means that you can only have one database. That's the last access point that is not really scalable. Mm-hmm. At some point, you run out of RAM to throw at the database, but you can easily split like front-end servers, so Python servers, you can split them on multiple machines. That's what we do on Odoo.com, actually. We have, I think now, 5-6 machines that are really beefed up serving the website and the backend, but we have only one database server. What we are doing with Odoo 18, and actually I think it's already merged in the master branch, is that we allow to replicate the database and to split requests for read-only access and write access. Because basically when you navigate within the Odoo backend, we estimate that 90% of what you do is reading. Mm-hmm. You go on a lead. Basically, you start by reading, and then maybe you post a message, maybe you modify a field, but most of the time, you will do reading stuff. That means that we can replicate the databases on multiple servers. These replicates are read-only. So if we tell the system, okay, if the request incoming is read-only, you can actually read on any of these databases in the database pool. So can have like 10, 100. So basically, there is no actual limit. But of course, these replicates are need to be synchronized in real time because it's a management software. So the data needs to be consistent all the time. We're not Facebook. We don't want to be ultimately consistent. We want to be always consistent. Consistent.
It would be better for accounting, yeah, please.
And so we have, of course, new limits. We are going to use this on Odoo.com soon and see how it goes and if we tweak the system a little bit. But you can scale quite a lot. Huh? We have already a lot of instances with thousands of backend users. I mean, if you take Odoo.com alone, we are now, 3,000 employees, I think?
Yeah, a bit more.
Something
than
that. And, okay, we don't work all at the same time because we've split across time zones, but it's a good bet that 1,000 or 1,500 people connected and using the system actively at the same time, is really not unrealistic. And it works. I mean, sometimes it's a bit slow. It happens. Sometimes it's also the connection at the farm that's actually slow. It's not always the Odoo server. And we always try to improve it. And frankly, it's I think it's faster now than when I arrived and it was Odoo 8 a few years back. So yeah, it's quite... it is possible to scale. It's a little bit more complicated because you don't get the auto-scaling. You could have some auto-scaling, but you don't get as much auto-scaling as you would get on microservices. But honestly, it's worth the trade, that's for sure.
Okay, I suggest we move on to another subject among the trends and things that are often asked by people. REST or not REST? you have a bunch of stories with that, right? So people asked for it, but we don't have it like...
Perhaps we can do as we did and a quick reminder of what is RESTful versus non-RESTful.
So REST is just a communication protocol between two systems. So you have like something to follow upon when you do like the requests. And REST is a protocol similar to many other protocols that are used in communication and communication between software. And it's just like you have like for each resource you have an endpoint, and you can like have mainly four let's say methods. We have get to get the resource, post to create a new resource, put or patch to edit the resource, and delete to edit the resource. And this gives you the ability to, let's say, to have like an interface. It's like an API, like we call like a REST API. It means we have an interface which you call and you don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but you just get the response from the backend. And as I said, so in Odoo, usually like Odoo is exposed with another protocol, another communication protocol called XMLRPC. And it's just another way of communicating.
What is that?
XMLRPC is just a RPC stands for remote procedure call, and it's just like calling your Python functions from your Python code from a remote location, let's say. Basically, that's
so
that.
So basically, you call public functions like that.
Yeah. And in Odoo, XMLRPC is really simple, you just have to expose functions, like expose meaning that just you like make them public, and public function Odoo is just a function doesn't start with underscore. So if you decide, okay, I want to expose this workflow, I will just create a function, and this function will be used when someone calls my server with an XMLRPC. And it is as simple as that. So, and we have like this request for many customers in PS Tech, like not many customers, but a lot of customers asks like, okay, I usually work with a REST API, so why don't you expose Odoo as a REST API, okay? So we try first to convince them, okay, so it's just another communication protocol, just you can learn in 1 hour, okay, if you are a developer.
It's just a function to call.
Exactly.
It should be something
function,
you're able to do,
Just some setup, you create your token and stuff, and just you call the functions exactly as you do with the code, if you're writing Python code. And And I think that now that the trend is becoming more and more let's say present. Like all people, like when they get started, they usually reuse REST and that's it. They don't like first they say compare between okay, what should I use in this case? What should I do in this case? Is my application ready for like do you like is my use case built for REST or not? But people just use REST without thinking about it. So that's why people usually like especially like like recent developers, they come, okay, I want to expose Odoo, please expose Odoo for me as REST so I can know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, because they're used to that and they think that is the, like the only way, or they're not even aware that there is something
else. Exactly, exactly. They're not even aware that there are other communication protocols, like many, like maybe 10 other used communication protocols that can be used and can do the job sometimes better, easier if you just learn it.
It's like I do a bit of development on my free time, and if you look at any, and I really do mean any, tutorial right now to build a React app, to build something REST with Vue.js, it's always REST. And it's funny because, as you say, they don't even say, like, REST is one possibility among others, but it's the simplest for this demo, so let's go with that.
Exactly.
They just say, we're going to create RESTful endpoints for our API. There is no other way to think than that.
But that's often the problem with tutorials online. You have someone explaining a very, very, very simple use case, with very, very simple tools and the things that he's the most comfortable with. And often he doesn't even tell you that there are other ways of doing that.
No, and I think what's interesting for RESTful versus RPC calls is that you need to think about the data that you're storing and what you plan to do with it. I think RESTful makes a lot of sense if you have something that basically just store data. Like if you have the classic tutorials for a to-do app or whatever. Of course, you will only just do create some stuff, edit a little bit, and then delete it when you don't need it anymore. But that's not what we really do in Odoo. In Odoo, the point of Odoo and the usefulness of Odoo is that you have basically workflows. You click on a button, something happens, it triggers something else elsewhere, and it creates stuff and reminders, and it sends emails. And so if you want to plug that into a RESTful use case or RESTful API, you need to think in a really weird way, like, okay, if I want to confirm my invoice, I need to update the state of the invoice. Like, I need to do a put call with a, like a payload where I change that value. But then it seems like it's a simple change, while in fact you're triggering
the
amount of data that is going to change with this simple change is enormous. And I think it just doesn't fit. If you look at what I've seen sometimes in the wild is a RESTful API. I think it was Stripe, you have a payment intent, I think they call it, and then you have to create like a payment intent validation object that you need to post, then you need to update that object to say that it's done, it will trigger a change. And it's really like, you can see that they have a workflow and they try to make it fit into objects that they split artificially.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's really weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so, it's like, for example, like you're going from point A to point B, but to go do that, you must do like A, B, C, and then D, like this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at the end, you have like five stuff to delete because it basically got used exactly one time.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I think we are more dedicated to RPC in Odoo, but we have, you've done it, doing RESTful endpoints for customers.
Yeah. I mean, you just get a chunk of some Odoo code. Let's say they want, like, for example, something to confirm and do something else. Okay, you say /confirm/ the ID of the invoice, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you just do the logic there, and then you expose the endpoint as an HTTP endpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And it's as simple as that.
So you basically transform the method call into a root call, but that's it.
Exactly, with an endpoint. Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of weird.
Also, something else to add on top of this, like, Odoo didn't start as an API server, actually. It didn't start as an API server you could call with endpoint. It started as an application as a whole, as you said, with workflows. So like the front end is strongly connected to the back end. So we can't now like ask the question, why does Odoo do not use REST?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense to ask this question, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need it.
Yeah, we don't.
For the application itself. And if you really want to have a RESTful APIs like that you can control with a lot of granularity, I know that the Odoo Community Association maintains a REST framework for Odoo. I haven't used it. I assume it's probably a little bit complicated to set up because you need to decide what you expose, what you do not expose, how access rights will play with all that because that's another layer of a complexity to add. But if you ever want to do it, it's not that complicated.
Yeah, it's again, we have the point of view of the editor, and so we want our thing to be the the simplest possible, and it's complicated enough, huh? and if you need more advanced things or really want something specific like that, that we chose not to do, usually the community has done it, and that's the case here. Yeah. Unless you have something else to.
No, just wanted to add, it's, as I said, it's another communication tool. It's mm-hmm. just a tool after all, to make you achieve some goal. Mm-hmm. Like for example, shipping companies usually use the SOAP protocol mm-hmm. because they started early in the mm-hmm. tech market and SOAP was really used at the time. So if I was faced before the project that you have to integrate a shipping method, I'm gonna say why you use SOAP? Why don't you expose a REST API for me? I just get informed a bit about SOAP and then mm-hmm. Use the protocol as another communication protocol.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. Yeah. I mean, SOAP is a bit painful now. It's
painful
it's XML based.
Yeah, exactly. But
Okay, so I suggest, because we are really reaching the end of the episode, so we still have a few minutes, I suggest we answer a bunch of questions from the chat again. Let's start with this one, actually. So, are you currently debating on any potential trendy features to decide if it should be added in Odoo or not?
No.
Someone wants spoiler for the next version.
Everybody wants spoiler all the time. Let me think. Some trendy features.
In accounting, I can answer no.
I
have a lot of things, but not trendy things.
What we did that could be considered a little bit trendy recently, but it's already been done post 17, I think. So it's 17.1, maybe. We have done something that, do you know GraphQL?
Yeah.
We've GraphQL is basically another communication protocol. If we want to continue the debate, it's instead of having, it's basically kind of giving access to a database from the JSON world. So you say, hey, I would like to have this object, and within this object, I want all the embedded data from other objects that are linked to it. For example, you can ask to have the information for sales orders, then all the lines of the sales order detailed precisely, then all the products of the lines detailed, and you can go deep and deep and deep and get everything in one payload. Mm-hmm. GraphQL also includes the notion of mutation, which is kind of like RPC, basically. It's a method. We didn't do that, but we did something that's a bit like GraphQL with I don't remember the name we use in the end, but we called it Unity Endpoint internally. And it's basically, when you load a view in Odoo, we go and tell the server, hey, give me all the information about the sales order. And in the past, it would say, okay, this sales order will contain lines, and these lines are those with the IDs and then a bunch of IDs. And then we had to get to the server and can you give me all the data for the sales order lines mm-hmm. with these IDs. Now we allow the system to read everything in one go, which is, from a performance point of view, a good thing, except if you start asking things like too deep. If you go 10 level deep, it means that we have to do a lot of jointers in the database, and if you stumble upon a table that is absolutely huge, then the joint may be super slow. So it's like GraphQL, it can be dangerous if you start to go too deep into the system. That's one of the trendy thing we did, but we did it in-house. We didn't implement GraphQL itself. And besides this, I have nothing that comes really to mind. Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to wait till Odoo experience.
Yeah, yeah. Usually the
maybe
big
we don't know yet.
You probably don't know yet.
Typical Odoo workflow, don't worry. And I suggest we conclude with one last question here. What would be something you'd add to Odoo that would make your life as a developer easier? I would say, again, a trendy thing that you think would be nice. Do you have any idea?
I'm going to ask the one who does development for professional people first.
Good idea.
What would you do? Let me think.
If you have no idea, it's fine.
Yeah, I have nothing obvious that comes to mind either. We are working on some stuff to simplify some APIs. For example, the debug mode is kind of a nightmare. right now. It's been kind of a mess for a few years. We've put a lot of stuff in it. Now we're kind of splitting back into like its original intention of having a developer mode and like an advanced mode for advanced users, which are not necessarily developers.
Whoa, I didn't know we were doing that.
it's coming.
That's good.
It's coming. So that's one of the things we're simplifying, or we're trying to simplify. One thing that's still in early development, it's not even really getting developed, it's still at the planning phase, but we plan on reworking the authentication mechanisms in Odoo. So right now we have like the base authentication within Odoo itself with the database, password, user, blah, blah, blah. We have some auth modules that go to fetch users from a remote system. For example, we have the possibility to integrate with LDAP. We have some auth integrations that are kind of shaky because our oath implementation is kind of old and showing cracks, not from a security point of view, but from a like usability point of view as a developer. And so we are thinking about having some kind of clear authentication framework, which will also add new features like the FIDO Alliance, which is basically a new way to authenticate users without passwords that uses public key cryptography based on your devices. So for example, you will be able to log in into your Odoo account without a password, but with your biometrics on your phone or with the biometrics on your computer. I see you have the same as me, that you can use your finger on the fingerprint sensor. So that's this we already have. We plan on using it as a second factor in a two-factor authentication system. We will also like clean the two-factor authentication mess because we added it like in a stable version with a few modules that need to link everything. So that's kind of trendy in a way, because authentication right now is a hot mess, a hot debate, maybe not a hot mess, but a hot debate in the development world, because we have a lot of attacks in the...
Sure.
Based on password leaking, and this it's called WebAuth N. It's not easy to say as well for a French speaker, but WebAuth N allows you to basically avoid passwords altogether and make sure that people... It's basically, you remove all the man-in-the-middle attack possibilities because it uses cryptography. You remove all the attacks based on just trying stupid passwords on a lot of accounts.
That is the thing. A lot of just using password, and we see that with two-factor authentication, that is just like everywhere. Now, passwords are not enough anymore because no one puts a password long like this with
only
random characters. Unless you have a password manager.
But not many people have those. I mean, I'm trying to convince my family and friends to use them, and they look
really
at me like, they roll their eyes. Oh, here he comes again with his password manager. But I mean, I don't know about you, my email account contains my whole life. If you get my Gmail account, you can basically do whatever you want and rename all my accounts and take over my life. So I've secured it as much as I could.
Of course.
But so that's one of the things that is kind of trendy that is probably going to get into 18. But I mean, as I said, it's still in the planning stage.
You'll see. And that will be the final word for today. Thank you for your answers, the discussion, and all the powerful insights that you gave us today. And thanks to you as well for watching this episode. And see you again in the next one. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Nice.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If so, don't hesitate to join us on Twitch next time. Having you on the live to interact with us would be awesome. The video of our discussion is also available on YouTube, so it would be nice if you could go there and hit the like button. And if you want to stay with us longer, we have dozens of other podcast episodes available. Until next time, cheers.